A reading of the Book of Philemon. Paul, a prisoner of Christ Jesus, and Timothy, our brother, to Philemon, our dear friend and fellow worker, to Apphia, our sister, and Archippus, our fellow soldier, and to the church that meets in your home. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I always thank my God as I remember you in my prayers, because I hear about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love of all the saints. I pray that you may be active in sharing your faith so that you will have a full understanding of every good thing we have in Christ. Your love has given me great joy and encouragement because you, brother, have refreshed the hearts of the saints. Therefore, although in Christ I could be bold and order you to do what you ought to do, yet I appeal to you on the basis of love. I then, as Paul, an old man and now also a prisoner of Christ Jesus, I appeal to you for my son Onesimus, who became my son while I was in chains. Formerly he was useless to you, but now he has become useful, both to you and to me. I am sending him, who is my very heart, back to you. I would have liked to keep him with me so that he could take your place in helping me while I am in chains for the gospel. But I did not want to do anything without your consent, so that any favour you do will be spontaneous and not forced. Perhaps the reason he was separated from you for a little while was that you might have him back for good, no longer as a slave, but better than a slave, as a dear brother. He is very dear to me, but even dearer to you, both as a man and as a brother in the Lord. So if you consider me a partner, welcome him as you would welcome me. If he has done you any wrong or owes you anything, charge it to me. I, Paul, am writing this with my own hand. I will pay it back, not to mention that you owe me your very self. I do wish, brother, that I may have some benefit from you in the Lord. Refresh my heart in Christ. Confident of your obedience, I write to you, knowing that you will do even more than I ask. And one more thing. Prepare a guest room for me, because I hope to be restored to you in answer to your prayers. Epaphras, my fellow prisoner in Christ Jesus, sends you greetings, and so do Mark, Aristarchus, Demas and Luke, my fellow workers. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. This is the word of the Lord.
I'm going to pray as I start. Heavenly Father, please be with us now as we think about this wonderful letter that Paul wrote to Philemon. Help us to think through how it applies to our hearts and our church. Amen. I am really excited that my first sermon at BPC gets to be on Philemon. It is a book that is very close to my heart, and I have long been fascinated by the backstory and the contents of the letter. There's one word to describe this letter: explosive. Philemon has been called the most dangerous book of the Bible. Why? Because what Paul asks of Philemon was utterly countercultural and went against the rules in place at the time. Paul asks Philemon to receive back a slave who had run away and treat him not just as a slave, but as a brother. If Philemon followed through with this request, then his behaviour would have resulted in a radical example of Christian relationship. It's no wonder that N.T. Wright has suggested the letter presents a picture of how the gospel works in practice. We will think this evening, firstly, about how Paul structures the letter, a carefully worded letter. Then we will look at the request, an explosive request. And finally, a revolutionary new family. So what is Paul asking in his carefully worded letter? The request is not mentioned until verses 15 to 17, but there's a lot of build-up before it. The request is surrounded by a masterclass in persuasive writing. He spends time flattering Philemon. In verse 4, I always thank God as I remember you in my prayers. He emphasizes their partnership in the gospel. Even though they were separated, they are joined together as brothers in Christ. Verse 17, if you consider me a partner. Not only does he refer to Philemon as his partner, but also as his brother. In verse 7 and in verse 20. And this family language is used throughout the letter. He's clear that he's not forcing Philemon to do anything. In verse 8, he says that while he could do so, after all, Philemon owes him his very heart. He was the one who told Philemon about Jesus. Instead, he appeals to him on the basis of love. But then in verse 21, he writes that he is confident of Philemon's obedience, and he asks him to prepare a room for him in expectation of his visit. So realistically, it's hard to think that Paul has any other choice than to respond to Paul's request as Paul hopes. So what then is Paul asking? We've thought about the carefully worded letter. Let's think about this explosive request. The letter concerns Onesimus. He is a slave who has run away from his master. We don't know why. Paul is too tactful to refer to a disagreement. All we know is that the slave and master have been parted. Onesimus, in flight, went to Paul in prison, where he was taken in. During their time together, Onesimus has become a believer and is now being sent back to his master with this letter. Paul doesn't mention Onesimus by name until verse 10, when he asks that Philemon might take him back, no longer as a slave, but better than a slave, as a dear brother. For not only is Philemon Paul's brother in Christ, but now so too is Onesimus his brother. Explosive. This letter would probably have been read aloud in the church. Philemon might have been hearing it for the first time, and he has to sit there with Onesimus standing in front of him, having handed over the letter. Now, we need to understand a few things about the master-slave relationship in order to fully recognize this explosive request. A slave was not a person, but was a piece of property. So in leaving Philemon, Onesimus has literally stolen himself from his master. The local government was obsessed with the recapture of the slaves, and many people worked to return runaways. And thirdly, slave masters punished the returned runaways. Their fugitive status was held against them for the rest of their lives. They could be forced to wear a metal collar or be branded on the forehead or tattooed with fugitivus. So the letter is read out. And as this happens, Philemon hears that Paul wants him to forgive Onesimus for his behavior and welcome him back as if it had never happened. No longer as a slave, but better than a slave, as a dear brother. This is not what happened. This is not how runaway slaves were treated. They were punished. They were not forgiven. Society said that Onesimus was a possession, not a person. And he's potentially not even a very good slave. In verse 11, there's a pun on his name when Paul refers to him as formerly useless because Onesimus meant useless. Just like all the many tools in the home, the slave was an object to be treated as the master saw fit. This is why this letter is referred to as explosive and dangerous. Because for a slave to be treated as a human, as a brother, in a society which was so reliant on slavery, was radical. For this very reason, the letter became the key text over which arguments were made for and against slavery in the American Civil War. In 1850, the Fugitive Slave Act was passed that stated runaways should be returned to their masters, and it was called the Pauline Mandate. Why is it that Paul feels able to ask this of Philemon? We will look at this question as the last part of this talk. We've seen the carefully worded letter and considered the explosive request. Now we must think about the revolutionary new family Paul is establishing through faith in Jesus. Throughout the letter, the language Paul uses is very emotional. Not only does he make his appeal on the basis of love, but he speaks of his heart being moved by Philemon's face. And the word used is literally his intestines are being moved. It was the strongest emotional response he had. He uses heart again in verse 12 to refer to Onesimus. He even goes as far as saying that Onesimus is dearer to him, is dearer to Philemon than to him. He speaks of Philemon as his brother and as Onesimus as his son. Thus, they are related. And because of this, they are brothers together in the Lord. They have become equals. Both men who, when in need of forgiveness for their sin, found it at the cross of Jesus. A slave who had broken the law and needed to be punished, and an important business owner and church leader. They are equals. They are brothers in the Lord. Galatians 3, verse 28, Paul said, "There is neither Jew nor Gentile, neither slave nor free, nor is there male and female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus." Because of Onesimus' faith, he cannot be treated with extreme punishment when he returned. For how could Philemon punish him one day, then receive communion with him the next day in church? Now, another complicated part of this letter is deciding what Paul's view on slavery is. And I'm afraid we don't have time to think about that today. We will never know if Paul was using this letter as a way of stating that he wanted slavery to end. But we can see Paul saying to Philemon and Onesimus that their relationship had changed forever. This letter gives a practical example of the gospel of reconciliation that we have all received. The relationship between these three men mirrors our relationship with God. We have been reconciled with God through Jesus taking our sins upon himself. In this situation, Paul puts himself in the place of Jesus, providing for Onesimus. He says that he will pay the cost of any stolen money in order that Onesimus can be reconciled to Philemon. In this sense, he takes the role of Jesus, who bears our sin so we can all be reconciled to God. And because of the fact that Paul has taken the debt owed by Onesimus, and Philemon already owes so much to Paul, Philemon can't respond in anything but forgiveness. A master and a slave relating to each other as brothers was about as unlikely as it got in the New Testament world. But they had both become believers, and their forgiveness made this possible. And what would this look like in our church today if we truly realised how much God had forgiven us? If we realised and were so grateful to God for the forgiveness that we had received, that we could look around in our community and forgive those who wronged us. We would be quicker with our forgiveness. We would hold shorter accounts with one another. We would forgive quickly and love outrageously. I don't know about you, but I find this challenge from the letter to Philemon incredibly hard. I could genuinely give you a list of Christians who have wronged me, which is ample evidence that I have not welcomed them back in my heart in the way that Paul asks Philemon to welcome Onesimus. So that's the first challenge that we see in this letter for us. And the second way that we can think about this letter for ourselves is that if we were presenting the same radical community that Paul asks of Philemon and Onesimus, there would be no cliques in our church. There would be no separation between groups. And we would embody that verse from Galatians. There is neither Jew nor Gentile, neither slave nor free, nor is there male or female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. And I think we need to ask ourselves, does everyone feel welcome in our church? I've been thinking about that a lot recently with the discussions about race in the church. I've spoken to friends and they said they haven't always felt welcome. A friend at my college in Oxford told me he stopped coming to dinner because all he saw was white people talking to each other and he wasn't included. And when he told me that, I felt terrible because that was not the community that I thought that we had. But I was wrong. And we have some way to go. But here, Paul asks a slave and his master to embrace one another as brothers. What would such a radical community without barriers look like in our church? And how can we be a part of making it happen? Let's remember, we love because he first loved us. We have been reconciled with God and forgiven, so we can reach our arms around one another as brothers and sisters and work together to create a community that embodies the love Paul asks Philemon to extend to Onesimus. The kind of love that would show us to be a revolutionary family. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for these men. And we thank you for this letter and the way that it reminds us of the forgiveness that we have received through you. Please help us to be quick to love one another and to forgive one another and to present a church where all people feel welcomed. Amen.